welcome again to the program. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll pick it up today at verse number 15. Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 15, Paul is writing to these very good Christians. They are living for the Lord. But he says here in this verse, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." We're going to look at that in a minute. Before we do, listen to this message and song. Perhaps you're having a difficult time right now. I know many people are. Listen to this message and song. It was written by someone who went through a lot of pain, a lot of physical problems. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater."
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his heart has no boundary, none unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth.
Thessalonians 5, verse 15, Paul said, "See that none render evil for evil." That word render means to give back. Don't give back evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now, he's talking to these, we said, these Christians who are living godly lives. He's very encouraged at the strength and at the maturity of these Christians at Thessalonica. However, he knows that, like himself and like you and I, we have that old nature. And when we get saved, God didn't kick that old nature out. I kind of wish he had planned it that way. It would be a much easier thing, but he didn't. He gave us a new nature, and so we have that old nature that's telling us to render evil for evil, and we have the new nature which won't do that. And so whichever nature we feed, that's the nature that's going to grow. In Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, when Jesus was being whipped and crucified, he said, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's interesting that one time we find Jesus with a whip in his hand, going through the temple, and another time here we Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. The principle here is very simple. When they were hurting the church, or hurting the temple as it was back then, he said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves, and he went after them with a whip. But other times he came in and he didn't whip, he wept. The Bible says in John 11:35, Jesus wept. When do you whip and when do you weep? Well, here they are picking on him personally. They are whipping him. They are destroying him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they were hurting God's work, he took a whip. When they were picking on him personally, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's the principle. It's important for pastors to understand this principle, especially in the area of leadership. When they're picking on you personally, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But when they're hurting church, now that's a different position altogether. He goes on to say in verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Now, when they're rendering evil upon you, no matter what is happening, it says here to rejoice evermore. That word rejoice is in the Bible 192 times, and the word evermore has been translated always 29 times. Back in Acts, we read there that they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing. They were going through a lot of tribulations and troubles. He went on to say, and this is important in light of this context, pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said, now in everything, not for everything. There's some things we just not going to be thankful for, but in everything, give thanks. I want to read this quote by Alan Redpath. I've read it before. I read it when I was a young Christian in my teenage years, and it meant a lot to me back then. It means a lot more to me now. And I've kept it all these years. It says, there is nothing, I'm quoting here, there is nothing, no circumstance, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until first of all it has gone past God, past Christ, right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a purpose which I may not understand at the moment, but as I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up my eyes to him, and as I accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no trial will ever disarm me, no circumstance will cause me to fret, for I will rest in the joy of what my Lord is. Written by Alan Redpath years ago. Tremendous quote. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. Quench. What is that? Well, that is usually used in when you're going to put out the fire. We would see the fires of revival in our age if we weren't quenching the Holy Spirit. Then it says also, despise not prophesying, verse number 20. Now, prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, prophesying serveth not for them which believe not, but for them which believe. And again, Paul is preaching to the remnant here. Sometimes I think we take these verses and we say, yeah, boy, if those apostates would just get in line. No, what Paul is saying here and what these verses, all the way through the writings of Paul as he writes to these churches, he's writing to the remnant. He's writing to those who are saying, yeah, I want to live true. He says, then understand that prophecy is not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, there's two kinds of prophets in the Bible, some that foretold in the Old Testament, but the prophet in the New Testament is the one that tells forth. He's the preacher. He makes it plain, that which is right and that which is wrong. And he said, this is for them which believe. 21 in First Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. Follow that which is good, he says, and hold fast to that which is good in verse 21 here of chapter 5. Back in Acts, we read these words, and they were more noble. They, at the Bereans he's talking about, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. This is such an important verse here. Prove all things. He said they received the word with readiness of mind, but then they search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. You should not believe anything I say on this broadcast until you search the scriptures daily to see if what I'm saying is so. If you couldn't just take what Paul was saying without searching the scriptures to see if he was lining up with them, how much more should we be doing that today? He says in verse 22 of 1 Thessalonians 5, abstain from all appearance of evil. The word appearance, an interesting word, has been translated fashion in Luke 9 and 29. The fashion is the manner of how we do something. What fashion do you do it in? Our philosophy of ministry is very important. Our philosophy of ministry is how we do what we are commanded to do. There's a lot of area there where we're not going to the scriptures to learn how to do what he commands us to do. Verse 23, he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says here three things, spirit, soul, and body. God said, let us make man in our image. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are a Trinity, and that is a spirit, a soul, and a body. The spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears with our spirit. Then our spirit, in turn, should dictate to our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And if we let the Holy Spirit have control of our mind, our will, and our emotions, then the body will come into line. A lot of talk these days and what is right and what is wrong concerning the body and how we dress it and where we take it and all that sort of thing. If we let the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit, not with our emotions, with our spirit, and then our spirit dictates to our soul, the rest will fall into line. He concludes this book by saying, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, this was a token of Christian brotherhood and genuine friendship. Today we would shake hands. I charge you, he says in verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And then Paul concludes this letter with the way he started it. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Grace, the desire and the ability to do God's work, God's way. Listen to this message and song. We've played it quite often. It's an important message. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find the sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast. Savior nigh, teach me.